Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Maya Lubeck and I'm one of the new Labour MPs in government. Very excited today to talk to Janet Fitzgerald and John Watson. I'll introduce them a little bit later on. But what we're going to talk about today is a project called Penlink. And basically what it is a project that is part of the Auckland Transport Alignment Project Package. That's the ATAP. And ATAP is a significant step towards a very transformative program for Auckland transport system. The ATAP package in total includes about $28 billion worth of investment in Auckland transport over the next decade. And so this major project that's part of this massive package is called Penlink. Now, Penlink is a project that provides a new connection between the northern motorway and the Whangaparoa Peninsula, bypassing that very congested and constrained Silverdale interchange, which sees about 24,000 vehicles a day going through it. So with me here, I have two of my guests. I have Janet Fitzgerald. Janet is the deputy chairperson for the Hibiscus and Bays Local Board, which is the Hibiscus Coast subdivision of the local board. Janet came in on her Positively Penlink campaign, and to say that she's a long-term Penlink advocate is probably quite an understatement. I also have John Watson here. John is the Albany Ward Councillor for Auckland Council. And he, as a Botany District Councillor, he stood in 2013 for the Auckland Council elections and became the Auckland, the Albany Board Councillor. He also is a staunch advocate for Penlink, and I'm really interested today in hearing their views. So if I can start with you, Janet, good morning.
Morning.
I've got an article here in front of me that was printed in the local newspaper, and it basically reported as saying that that you cried when you heard the announcement by Transport Minister Phil Twyford that $200 million would be allocated to the road and to build it within those 10 years. Now, what was the reason for that teary outburst?
Well, I've been involved with Penlink for so long now, something like 28 years. In 14 years ago, I organised the Penlink Now team through a meeting in Whangaparoa, and we've worked with different governments, all the different local agencies, and even made submissions to the Select Committee when Labor decided on the fuel tax back in 2008. So we have... The tears came because this is the first time ever in the history of Penlink that money has actually been allocated for the project. So I was away at the time for the Anzac Day celebrations, and I was lying in bed listening to Phil Twyford, and the tears were rolling down my eyes as I heard the $200 million had been put aside.
Yeah, I can understand, because finally there's a tangible commitment to that promise. You said that in 2008 you said you made some submissions around Penlink. What happened after 2008?
Well, what happened was that it went through the process, and the fuel tax was put in under the previous Labor Transport Minister, Annette King, and that all went through Parliament. And then when National came into government, they got rid of the fuel tax out of the legislation, and... At that stage, Penlink was a regional road, and then it was made a local road, which under Rodney wasn't so hard, but once it went into Auckland Council, there were so many roads on the program that Penlink slipped down the lane quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. John, just to move over to you, what are your thoughts on the time that it has taken to get us to this point, and finally have some commitment on Penlink being built?
Well, it's great news for Whangarapua Peninsula, which it's been the most significant issue, as Janet said, for a couple of decades. But it's more significant now because it's fitting into a much wider network. So we've got massive growth that's occurring in Silverdale. It's going to jump the motorway over to Wainui, and it's going to go down to Dairy Flat. And what's become really apparent really quickly is that the whole Northern Motorway is going to reach its capacity sooner rather than later, and that unless the Whangarapua traffic is diverted, then there's just going to be sort of massive gridlock. We're going to have another Southern Motorway in very short space of time. So I think for that wider network and also for the issue to do with safety and security on Whangarapua in terms of another access, you know, because it's a big, long 15-kilometre peninsula, there's a number of things that have come together. And the other ones, I think, that's really pleasing for people is a way that Penlink can be linked into the public transport system, in particular the Northern Busway, which is getting extended up to Albany, and then the bus shoulder lanes, courtesy of the new government, all the way up to Orewa. Yeah. So Penlink will feed into that, and I'm really hopeful that another well-placed park and ride will essentially deal with this huge big area's growth for the next 30, 40 years.
Yeah, no, you touched on a really important point there, because it's not in isolation. Penlink is a project that is being built in the wider vision of having a better functioning public transport system.
Yeah, and that's really important, because what's very clear in our part of Auckland, but Auckland as a whole, is how just one thing doesn't fix everything. You need a number of things now. Right. And Penlink is part of that jigsaw, but it has to be in conjunction with improved public transport, and it also has to be in conjunction with this Northern Corridor improvements, which have just started. Otherwise, everything comes to a grinding halt there, buses, cars, the works. So what's pleasing for us in the Albany ward and Hibiscus Coast in particular is that this is coming together really fast, and as a consequence of this program that's just been announced.
Yeah, and I think, and I mentioned this when I attached the issue of Penlink to my speech around fuel tax earlier in the House back in March, I mentioned that there's obviously a very big cost to the gridlock to the economy. The figures I mentioned at the time is that basically gridlock costs our economy about $1.3 billion per year in lost productivity. And that if cars would only go a mere 6 kilometres faster per hour during weekdays, so basically going from 50 kilometres per hour to 56 kilometres an hour, it would benefit the economy $3.5 million per day. So that is $3.5 million per day, more productivity by going 6 kilometres faster. So I think it really is a no-brainer to try and resolving it. Now, to either of you, what has been your the feedback that you've heard from businesses with regards to, you know, Penlink being built?
I know that out on the Whangarapua Peninsula, there has been businesses that have approached me about wanting to expand their business, which would give more employment, but they didn't want to do that until Penlink was built. One of the problems that they've found is getting some of their consumables out to them in a timely fashion to run their business. And Silverdale has found that in particular it has constrained them in their business, and in fact we've lost one of our big employers out of Silverdale already because they couldn't get in and out properly with their freight.
And isn't it right that we've seen recently one of the malls close? Is that the one you refer to? Or
well, The Coast Plaza hasn't closed, but there are 13 shops now empty in it, and now they're doing a refurbish. They're trying to sell it, but haven't got a buyer yet. It's back on the market again after they thought they had sold it. So that has caused a problem.
Yeah, one of the problems, I guess, for the businesses on that side of the of the land is that, like you said, it's hard to get perishables and consumables and everything else to them. But also, I guess, for workers even just to go to their place of business. Now, in addition to that financial cost that we see to congestion and stagnation on our roads, what is the personal toll for people, John? Do you want to comment on that, perhaps?
Well, there's been a couple of incidents where accidents have basically shut off the whole peninsula and basically shut down. So there's a couple of pinch points on Whangaparā. Penlink deals with one of them. That's up to Vaipon Road. And if something happens west of that, basically you can't get on or off the peninsula. So there's always been that kind of civil defence awareness that has caused concern when things have happened. What's also, been incredibly frustrating to people is the length of time getting on and off the peninsula and the tipping point that the peninsula is always at. So just a little accident or something has to happen and it's gridlock. But to that extent, what I've certainly tried to encourage is improvements while we've been waiting for Penlink. So, for instance, we've just started the Whangaparā dynamic laning, which is tidal flow. You know, you have two lanes going out one way and one... And that's been an incredible success, made a huge difference in both the evening, which we expected, but also the morning too. So it's really important to keep, as part of that whole network, these other improvements occurring because they're all useful too, just like the ferry service. So I live at the end, I live at Army Bay, and going into the city, if you're going to the city, the ferry's the fastest, most efficient way to get there. So what's really important in terms of that personal view is giving people options, and this is what Penlink's going to do now as part of the network, is provide another quicker option as well as enabling the growth elsewhere on the Hibiscus Coast.
And I know that the dynamic lane trial of the morning run has only recently been... have you seen improvements
it's
already?
It's incredible.
Right?
It's unbelievable. And it's also helped to free up the Hibiscus Coast Highway. So it's actually exceeded all expectations. If people had concerns that there might be problems with the traffic getting across because it has to merge, that hasn't happened in the morning. Yeah. And, you know, that you're getting free-flowing traffic now, which on a section of the road, which used to be a real issue. So what I'm pleased about is suddenly we're getting things happening where for many, many years we just had nothing. We had inertia when absolutely no initiatives were occurring and it was just getting worse. So within a short space of time, we now have a number of things that are coming together and, as I said, are going to help our long-term future.
Yeah, really, really positive. John mentioned the ferries there before, Janet, and I think that brought me back to another really, really important aspect of getting Penlink in place, and that is that single access in and out of the peninsula. I remember a story where somebody mentioned that if there had been a tsunami at some stage and we needed, you know, people needed to get off and out in a hurry, they might not be able to use the ferries because the actual driver of the ferries could have been...
Yes, well, there was an accident on Whangaparā Road where it was a fatal, and the driver of the ferry was actually on the other side and couldn't get through to drive the ferry into Auckland. So that created a bit of a problem there. But safety is a big issue for the people on the Whangaparā Peninsula, but a lot of people just have always focused on it was for Whangaparā only. In actual fact, Penlink does a lot. As John said, the growth is going to be enormous. It's getting people and the local board together to try and create more employment up in Silverdale so we can keep some of our people, instead of going into Auckland and having to clog up the roads is keep them employed locally, because if they're employed locally, they usually spend locally, which is good for our economy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think coming back to the fact that it is for a lot wider area than the Whangaparoa Peninsula, I looked at the figures that I mentioned at the time of my speech about the area being earmarked for quite extensive residential development, as well as business development, and so the prognosis was that around 147,000 more people would have access to state highway, and that would have been solely through that Silverdale Hibiscus Coast Highway intersection. What would have happened is that really, really bad congestion would just have gotten worse and worse, to the point that it was just going to be impossible for people to deal with it.
So also, when there are accidents further north, and traffic has been banked back to as far as Albany, Penlink would give those people that live in the in the Orewa and Wairua area an opportunity to get off at Penlink and get off out of the traffic before they get to That's Silverdale.
Right. And it all helps out. Yeah. I guess just looking at the plan, the way it's been drafted up, it's making sure that while it is built as a two-lane project, it is future-proofed for four lanes. Now, I know that you both probably have differing views on the two versus the four lanes, so perhaps if I can start with John giving us your thoughts on how you see that work best.
Yeah, well, I think in the first and obvious instance, it's been made very clear that financially speaking, with two lanes it happens, with four lanes it doesn't, it becomes too expensive. So from just a purely pragmatic viewpoint to start off with, that makes it a much better cost-benefit ratio. The other thing I would say too is that people, you know, talk about short-sightedness, and they talk about, you know, the Harbour Bridge, how it was open and it had four lanes when it opened up and all that. The Whangaparoa Peninsula isn't the North Shore in the 1960s. You know, there's a finite area to it. The last third of it is regional park and Navy land, you know, a big chunk of land. If you allow sort of uncontrolled growth on Whangaparoa, you then just end up transferring the problem. So the peninsula is 15 kilometres long. If you then, and Penlink is in that first 5K part of it, if you then allow huge growth further along, you then create the same congestion to get to the Penlink turnoff. So there's a fine balance that has to be struck here if we're talking about Whangaparoa Peninsula, and both Jan and I have said that it's what it enables elsewhere in the Hibiscus Coast that's a real driver. So as far as the two lanes to the Whangaparoa goes, I'm very confident that for a long, long while that will be more than sufficient to get the people on and off the peninsula who want to use it. Could just remind people do not have to use it, so that as soon as it opens up, then it also has an added benefit of freeing up Whangaparoa Road, because there will be less traffic on that. And some people, who knows, will choose to use that. They won't want to pay the toll, and that's, you know, that's perfectly understandable, especially if there's a fuel tax around. So I think all that said, and I think the modelling by the Greater Auckland has shown that the actual traffic flow volumes, that's going to be more than sufficient to cope with the traffic. Just the key thing from my point of view is that there's pedestrian and cycle access that's provided, because it goes over a beautiful part of Whangaparoa, the Waitiki River over to Stillwater. Mm. So I'd really want to see the benefit of, you know, the whole way our society's going, that people can actually use it as a recreational outlet too, for cycling and walking, and also linking up hopefully to a park and ride. And there should be no lights, so there should be no hold-ups.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. Janet, would you like to comment on some of those thoughts?
Yes, well, I've actually had we've done a survey on four-lane opposing two-lane, or two-lane and four-lane, and the community say that they would like four-laning, and I believe that's what I'm here to represent the community's thoughts. We have had investors that, and in fact we've had two investors approach the Chamber who want to build the four lanes. They want to put the money in for four lanes, and I think that we should be exploring that option if we can, because if we can have public transport go across Penlink, that is a saving of 20 minutes, giving people that opportunity to either have more enjoyment at home in the evenings or in the mornings, and getting to work quicker. And with the shoulder lanes being there for buses, they can go over Penlink. I'm hearing what John's saying, but I still think do it once, do it properly. The bridge in particular, it will create a problem. We would be better to be building four lanes in one go. The disruption that it's going to cause, rather than trying to put another two lanes on later, why not do it properly first? And if we can get a negotiation and going, I also believe that we need to start looking right now at getting the ball rolling on Penlink to get it started as soon as possible. It's a project that would be is ready to go. The government could win points by getting Penlink up and going. It's showing that they're committed to the project. A project manager should be announced and we get on with the project.
Yeah, look, I'm sure that all those conversations are happening at the moment, and people are going through all of the different, you know, scenarios. And
well, I think the big thing that we're both in agreement, Myra, is that it's getting up and going, and that's the key thing. And if it's a two-lane that gets it up and going first, and there is provision made, well and great. But what's really different now is that we have funds committed and it's happening, and that's what we,
and
that's
also,
what we want.
Yeah, sorry, John. And also it was only 2 weeks previous to the announcement on the ATAP program that Auckland Transport came to us as a local board and told us that it wasn't future-proofed for four-laning, and that is one thing. At least we're happy to hear that now under this process it is future-proofed, but I still have those concerns. I know the people. There are people in Stillwater who are upset about Penlink being built. Please don't disrupt their community twice. Let's do it once. Do it properly. Get it going. The Hibiscus Coast Local Board have a vision of having a walking cycle way right along the Wheatie from Silverdale, and that will meet up also with O'Riwa, because the pathway will go all the way and then up over Penlink and then down into Browns Bay in that area. So it would be just fantastic to have it all joined up.
And it would be nice, Maya, given the stunning beauty of the area that it traverses, that there is some sort of environmental appearance taken into this. This part of the Whangarapua Peninsula in Stillwater is probably the last remnants of relatively unspoilt bush and farmland on the whole of the Hibiscus Coast. The rest of it's been ravaged. So it'd be really nice, as happens overseas, if there's something a little special about the appearance of this bridge and the way that it, and I know it's a concrete bridge, but it can be done. It's linked into this really beautiful environment that a lot of people too want to see preserved for posterity. So as much as we're getting the project, which we think's great, we really want this to be a bit of a placemaking feature that people can be proud of too, in terms of the natural environment that it sits in.
Sure, yeah, look, it's a stunning area, and I'm always very, very pleased to be driving through the electorate and look out at the beautiful views there. So you're absolutely right. It's good to have the balance and to, you know, where we can. John, you mentioned, you touched on the toll issue.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, we've seen some reports on the toll. I guess when I first was introduced to all of the context and the history and all of the hurdles around the Penlink project by the Chamber of Commerce, Michael Barnett told me about a survey that they had run for the residents, and it seemed that people were overwhelmingly in favour of a toll if that would mean getting this project going. Is that still the case?
Yeah, the surveys have always shown a support for people paying a toll. You know, the people have expressed a willingness to do that. All I would say, and you know, I'm the one that's going to have to make the vote on this in a short while, is that, you know, the toll's one thing. We now have a fuel tax, and in the case of Penlink, it's only that fuel tax that enables it to be built. So that's the first thing our residents have to understand, that no fuel tax, it doesn't get built. So that's first up. But, you know, I do have concerns over the cumulative effect of, you know, of tolls, a fuel tax, and then the increase excise tax, and then petrol perhaps going up anyway. And I think particularly of the more, you know, the people that are poor and all across Auckland. I mean, not just the area, it's going to crawl across Auckland. And that's something that has to be recognised. You know, it's one thing in a time of low prices at $1.80 a litre. It's another thing when the prices are maybe $2.20, and then you're adding conceivably up to 25 cents on that. So there's some balancing that has to be done here. As far as Penlink goes, people, of course, always have the choice not to use it, not pay tolls. So it's not as if they're forced to. So anyone that's paying it will be doing so willingly, and I think, you know, there will be enough people that are more than willing to do that.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment, and I think we always need to keep that in mind, that, you know, who are you hitting in the pocket with the measures that you're making, and how do you still get all of the projects pushed forward?
I think the toll, Penlink from day one has always been pushed as a toll. You know, it's always been part of the Penlink project. So people from way back have always realised they were going to would have to pay a toll. And if we didn't have a toll on it, then everyone would use it. And that's the whole idea of Penlink, is to split the traffic so that Whangaparoa's not congested, Penlink's not congested. It actually makes the flow much better. And, you know, that's another reason why public transport. It was interesting, John made the comment about Whangaparoa being, you know, built out, basically. You know, you can only get so many houses in there. But we're noticing now that what's happening is, while a lot of the peninsula has been zoned under the unitary plan as single household units, developers are combining sites, and that means then they can put a comprehensive development on there. So they're putting more than one, two, they're putting up to four and six places on there. So that can happen out on the peninsula. Even though the unitary plan says one household per unit, that may not keep continuing. I've lived on the coast all my life. I've seen it change from before the Harbour Bridge was built and there was nothing hardly there to what's there now. It's such a beautiful place to live. Why, I don't want to leave it. But and that's why people come there. And housing is an issue that we know the government and the council are both challenged with, that we've got to look at how we can put houses in better. So the growth on the Rodney side of the Rodney Local Board side of the Hibiscus Coast, because the Wainui area and Dairy Flat area is actually in the Rodney Local Board area and the Rodney Ward area. it's going to create so much growth there. And also what happens is those people come into our area to shop and play and all those sorts of things, because they'll come to the beaches.
Yeah, I guess it looks like we're nearly wrapping up here. So I guess just to bring it all back to what this is about, it's unlocking the economic potential of the area. It's ensuring people have more time to spend with their families, rather than spending the time sitting in a gridlock. And you know, we're all very, very excited of seeing it built.
And thank you, Maya, for your part in promoting and advocating for this project. We all really appreciate it.
Yes, I think so. If we hadn't had the collaboration of Maya, Tracy Martin with New Zealand First, and also the Chamber of Commerce, they've worked extremely hard for us. So it's just great, and I'm just so excited. Let's get it done quickly.
Let's do that. John, Janet, thank you very much for all your work you've done, and thank you for coming in for this interview.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Get together next week at 9.05 a.m. or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/RedAlertRadio.